This is Honest Math Chat, and I'm Mona Eel of Mona Math. I'm a former math avoider turned math teacher cheerleader, and I'm going to get real honest with you about math classroom culture, engagement, math discussions, and all the student-centered instructional practices to help you empower your students to love and understand math deeply. So every Monday on Honest Math Chat, we're going to work together to make our classrooms places where students see themselves as mathematicians. But let's not wait. If you're ready to engage every learner and get them pumped about math, you've got to use math discussions. I welcome you to download the guide to engaging math discussions right now. Go to monamath.com/discussions. You'll get all my best tips on how to guide on the side while getting every child meaningfully engaged in discussing their math thinking. Okay, this is the birthday episode, and I am being joined on the podcast today with my birthday buddy, Juliana, and I'm going to let her introduce herself and talk about why she's here. I mean, other than the fact that it's our birthday and this is a celebration. But yeah, Juliana, introduce yourself. Tell us about you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It's our birthday. Our birthday is September 4th. We share the same birthday and we share a passion for increasing student engagement with math. And yeah, I'm Juliana. I live just outside of Denver, Colorado, and I used to teach high school math intervention and now work to support teachers and schools through professional development.
Love that. Okay. So people can find you. Let's just do that first, because sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts, I'm like, yeah, but how can I find this person and Google them or look them up right now? So tell people where you are on the internet.
Yes. I'm most commonly on Instagram. I can't make the Twitter happen. I just can't. So I am on Instagram at collaborated.with.juliana. And my website is collaboratedconsulting.org. And you can find lots of great options there.
Perfect. Okay. Yes. And we do share love for Which One Doesn't Belong, as well as engagement. And so the way that Juliana and I met was actually she and I found each other. It's like we collided on the internet of teacher yes. makers. And we just instantly were like, oh my gosh, you do that? So do I. Oh my gosh, you do that? So do I. And you're working with students kind of like late middle school through high school. And I'm working through with kids like elementary through early middle school. And so it was just so exciting to see that all of these strategies work with kids and adults, really, no matter what age they are.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So it was just so fun for us to kind of like make all these connections. And then next thing you know, as we were talking, it was like, oh, my birthday's coming up. And you're like, yeah, so is mine. And then we found out our birthday was the same day, which is just so funny and
meant
awesome.
To be.
It's meant to be. Yes, exactly. Okay. So Which One Doesn't Belong is what this episode is all about. And I found this strategy from like long ago from a number routines, like Number Sense Routines book. And I just like love that it automatically takes the pressure off of kids and really shows them that like, when I say the answer doesn't matter, I truly mean that. Because I think a lot of times when we're building math classroom culture, teachers say your thinking matters more. I want to see your thinking on the paper. But at the end of the day, the emphasis is still on the right answer. And so I just love Which One Doesn't Belong because there is no right answer. All of them are right or all of them are wrong. And so that's like, that's why I'm always dropping this strategy as a tip into new teachers or any teachers, because it really helps us show our students that we mean what we say.
Yes. And so many times we say, oh, you know, we want to value all students' thinking and it doesn't matter, you know, which way you solve this, you can solve it the way I show you, you can solve it a different way. And so many times we want to like just open up that discussion for our kids. And it's really hard to do with math, especially at the secondary level when you're solving equations. Like when you're solving 3x plus 10 equals negative 15, like there is only one answer. And so you kind of lose that like, you know, openness. And Which One Doesn't Belong is just the best way to bring that back. And like, the more correct answers there are, which is infinite in Which One Doesn't Belong, the more our students who struggle are going to feel confident to speak up. And that's why I really love it, because I've always taught intervention classes. And so for me, you know, my students have math anxiety. They're not confident in themselves as mathematicians. And so for them to be sitting in the classroom and they're like, oh, well, I think the answer is, you know, that lower left one, because it, the line is green and the other ones all have black lines or something. Like, it doesn't matter what the reasoning is. It matters that that student is finally having the confidence to speak up in math class, which can be huge for these kids who have struggled for so long with math.
Totally. And even if like you're an elementary or middle school teacher and they haven't struggled as long, it's still the same thing, because
yes,
just today I had a student go, I don't want to put this in the bin because someone's going to see that I didn't finish and I don't have the right answer. And so even in third grade, that's happening. Right. And you're right. This is just such a good opportunity to be that. People talk all the time about high ceiling, low floor. This is the easy first step into math.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And I always love to do Which One Doesn't Belong with like funny pictures or like food or smiley faces or something fun first to teach them like the routines and really just, again, put the emphasis on the thinking before we even get to math. Again, lowering that math anxiety.
Absolutely. 100%. And I feel like that is always how I encourage teachers to introduce it, is like with a non-math, Which One Doesn't Belong first, and then move into a mathy, Which One Doesn't Belong.
Okay. So let's talk about like how Which One Doesn't Belong even works in the classroom, because maybe you're listening to this podcast and you're like, yeah, that sounds really great. And I've seen it done on Sesame Street, right? Because they kind of have that, like, which one of these doesn't fit, like, isn't like the other on Sesame Street. But how do you actually do it in a ninth grade classroom or a fourth grade classroom or whatever? So
yeah,
how do you do it, Juliana?
The way I love to do Which One Doesn't Belong is as a warm-up. So when kids come in, they will just see the Which One Doesn't Belong image on the projector, and they will come in and they will, I put sentence stems up there as well for what I want them to write. So I put like, I label mine A, B, C, D. And then I put the sentence stem, A doesn't belong because blank, B doesn't belong because blank, C, D. And then what I want them to do is to come up with a reason why each one of them doesn't belong. So not just which one doesn't belong, but come up with a reason why all four of these don't belong in this set. And I feel like that gives me enough time to take roll. That gives me enough time to, you know, do the like, you know, homework check or whatever you do during warm-up when you ask them to create one for all four images in the set. So that's how I really love to use Which One Doesn't Belong. I've heard a lot of other teachers offering great ideas about using it as kind of a pre-assessment at the beginning of a unit. So let's say that you show them one with quadratic functions. And at the beginning, they're just like, it's curved, you know, it's a happy face, it's a frowny face, like they don't have the academic language yet. And then to use it at the end of the unit, maybe even with a word wall or something, where students can then pull in more of the academic language, you know, this one is positive, this one is negative, like whatever it is that you've been working on in that unit. So I like that idea too, that I hear a lot of teachers using it that way.
And I love that giving sentence stems to like kind of scaffold, right? Because again, we're taking down those barriers to actually participate and take that first step.
Yes.
And then I'm like obsessed with math discussions and getting kids talking, because that's another way that we can say to kids, like, it doesn't matter how fast you are. You just have to describe your thinking. You just have to tell us what you're thinking about Which One Doesn't Belong. So I always have my students write down which one they think doesn't belong. And then if they have more time, I'll have them do another one. That's an elementary take, right? But I also like to add the because. So for example, right now in my class, it's the beginning of third grade and we're doing a lot of place value review from second grade. So maybe we have, you know, just a couple 3-digit numbers and a couple 2-digit numbers, some with zeros in place values and some without. And so maybe a student will say like, well, B doesn't belong because there's no zero in the ones place and all the other ones have a zero. So I really like to have them take it and apply it to all of them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, tell what B doesn't have or does have, and then how that relates to the other ones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I've used the stem A doesn't belong because blank and the others blank.
Yeah. Love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Totally. And then giving them a chance to give voice to those statements. So
yes,
I don't tell this to kids, but I don't really care if they get it written down, right? It's about the thinking. So the writing it down is the accountability piece. It's the piece that's going to keep them in their seat, get them moving, like get them engaged. But really afterwards, I'm saying, turn to your partner or turn to your small group and tell them which one doesn't belong. And then I'm hoping that they go back to those notes that they took. And then that really gives purpose for a reason to write down, yes, you know, which one doesn't belong.
Yes. I didn't really finish that in my explanation. Like,
I'm sorry.
After the warm-up time is over, I would also suggest, you know, secondary teachers to, the way I like to facilitate it is say, okay, who wants to start us off? And let's say, you know, student A says C doesn't belong because blank, and I scribe their answer on the board. And then I ask, who has another reason why C doesn't belong? And try to flush out as many reasons for C and scribe all of the answers, no matter what, because this is a great opportunity for a kid who doesn't normally participate to finally participate in your class in a really safe setting where the likelihood that they're wrong is nearly impossible. Mm-hmm. And they will come to realize that it is nearly impossible to be wrong, and they will willingly participate, and the class clowns will try to give the funniest answers and all of that. So it's just a great way to get everyone talking and scribing and validating everyone's answers.
I completely agree. And really, then you can start to build that conversation and teach kids the skills of agreeing and disagreeing and yes, asking questions of their friends' reasoning, right? Or asking for a clarification on their justification or things like that. And again,
yes,
creating that safe space where I don't have to put myself out on a limb and ask a question about how you divided that fraction or that strategy I don't understand, but I can ask a question of like, wait, but you really think that smiley face, those little lines are antennas? I thought that was a headband, you know, like, so they can have this disagreement and they can learn those words in a safe space.
Yes. And I think that's what's so amazing about which one doesn't belong. The first time I learned about which one doesn't belong was at an NCTM conference, like years ago, maybe even a decade. Oh gosh, that's embarrassing. And, you know, I was thinking, oh my gosh, like clearly, you know, it's like D is the one that doesn't belong. Like it has a purple background. Hello. And then to hear everyone else's responses, and they were like, A doesn't, B doesn't, C doesn't. I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I never thought of that. I didn't see it that way. And the exact same thing happened when I used it in my classroom. Like my kids blew me away. And I facilitate which one doesn't belong with teachers all the time in my professional development. And I typically use the same images over and over again. I'll be real honest. And every single time I do it with a new group of teachers, I hear new responses. Like it is unending. Like it is such an amazing resource.
And this is why I think math can change the world. Because when we teach kids to respect and welcome and listen to perspectives, like I literally, yes, have chills right now, because this is what the world needs. The world needs adults and people who are ready to see things in a different way and be, yes, open to hearing them and having a discourse about them. So absolutely, which one doesn't belong for the world win, right?
Yes.
I don't even know what I'm saying. Oh my gosh. It's so fun talking about this with you, Juliana. Okay. If there's one tip or must have or reminder or some sort of like something we should take away about which one doesn't belong, what is it?
My one takeaway would be to really celebrate all student participation. And maybe even this is a good time to randomly call on kids or something to contribute, mm-hmm, because it's so safe, you know? And so no matter how silly the reasoning might sound, scribe it, like validate that student that they are giving you a correct answer in math class. And that can be a huge, you know, boundary, mm-hmm, breaker for these kids. Can I also add in, yeah, one thing that which one doesn't belong is not.
Yes, let's go.
Because, sorry.
I love it.
I see this happening a lot when teachers are like, oh, I love this. I'm going to apply it as basically a four-part multiple choice in which there is one correct answer. And I would just like to say for the record that if you are creating your own Which One Doesn't Belong, which I highly encourage you to do, it is not a pictorial representation of multiple choice. There needs to be multiple reasons why each one of the images or fractions or decimals or whatever that you choose to be in your Which One Doesn't Belong doesn't belong.
Yes. I love that. Thank you for that clarification. You're absolutely right. Yes. Because that almost should have went at the beginning of like, what is Which One Doesn't Belong? But yeah. So again, just making sure that we know that like, this is an opportunity for there to be lots of right answers. And yes. So every single one needs to have something. And the way that you can ensure that is by solving it yourself, which is a tip for any time you're doing a math task with students, is solve it yourself first and then try to solve it in four or five different ways so that you're prepared for who's going to be in front of you.
Yes. What's your one tip for Which One Doesn't Belong?
Okay. My one tip for like life right now, but mostly Which One Doesn't Belong, is like, don't take it too seriously. Don't be too kind of tunnel visioned, right? Like I think too often we're looking for the perfect thing before we get started, or it needs to be laminated before we can start that, you know, before we can hang up the poster, we got to laminate it. No, you don't. Just hang it up and you can peel the tape off later and laminate it later. Right. There isn't one perfect, which one doesn't belong. There isn't one perfect one to start with. So just pick one and start and don't overthink it. Keep it simple. And I think that also goes for just kind of like your classroom community, right? Like don't let your students overthink this. Really, like your tip is kind of encompassing of mine of like, keep it simple and really make sure that this is an opportunity that where everybody finds success. And not because it's like a rah-rah moment, right? But because like, that's what's going to help your kids take risks later down the line. When we have those positive interactions in math early on and ongoing throughout the year, then that builds up our math tank, our risk-taking tank, because I trust you more. You're not going to humiliate me. My friends are not going to laugh if I don't get it right, or if I say something off base or different than they think. So therefore, next time I might try the harder question or something that I don't know. I might try this time.
Yes, I love that. I think that is, I totally agree.
Okay, Juliana, what do you think? Since it's our birthday, what do you think about us having a Which One Doesn't Belong party?
I think we should do it. Let's do this.
All right. Let's put all of our Which One Doesn't Belong resources on sale at the beginning of September. Since our birthday is September 4th, let's put them all on sale every September, like the beginning of September from now on until on and on.
Eternity. I yes, love it.
Eternity.
I love this.
Okay. So if you're listening to this podcast right now in September of 2022, Juliana and I are about to put our Which One Doesn't Belong resources on sale. And the way you can find them easily is by searching the hashtag WODB, which stands for Which One Doesn't Belong. So hashtag WODB party. And if you search that hashtag on Teachers Pay Teachers, all of our resources will pop up and they will all be on sale. So if you're listening to this in like July of 2023, our birthday's just like a couple months away. So hold tight, because all of our resources are going to be for sale at the beginning of September in 2023 and 2024, et cetera. So Juliana, will you say the hashtag one more time and anything else you want to say?
Yes. So our hashtag is going to be hashtag WODB party. And we're super pumped to be able to share all of our great resources with you. And you can also go to WODB.ca and get a whole bunch of free Which One Doesn't Belong activities as well. And that is just a great Which One Doesn't Belong resource mecca.
Yeah, because it is kind of challenging and time consuming to think about putting a Which One Doesn't Belong together, because you do have to make sure there's a reason why all of them don't belong. And as a teacher myself, I know that there just isn't that time. And so having the pre-made packs of them is, it's just so helpful.
Yes.
So I offer those in my Teachers Pay Teacher store, and so does Juliana. And so, you know, I have packs of 30 so that you can use one every day as your warm up in your elementary classroom. And I know Juliana has packs as well. So, but if you don't want to jump into packs of resources, you can go to wodb.ca and check out, they have images for everything. And it's cool because it's open source. So you can submit images to that platform too. And it's just a growing resource. This has been so fun.
Yay.
I hope that everybody has gotten like kind of excitement about maybe trying out Which One Doesn't Belong, or maybe you used it in the past and you forgot about it. And this conversation has just excited you because we're here to party for our birthday. And we were just like, what better way than to talk about Which One Doesn't Belong?
All right, you grab Juliana. A beer, I'll grab my wine.
Yes, exactly. And we're just going to have Cheers. A Which One Doesn't Belong party. Yes. All right. Well, this was so fun, Juliana. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, that was the chat for the day, friends. I hope that it filled you up, gave you some ideas to implement tomorrow, and that you felt like you were chatting with your math teacher bestie, because that's what it's all about. If you haven't downloaded my ebook yet, 5 Steps to a Student-Centered Math Class, go right now. www.locallearnersandco.com/ebook. You'll get 5 clear steps to engage your students and drive toward real deep math understanding. As always, if you have questions or comments, make sure to let me know. Check out the show notes, and then of course, subscribe to the podcast, because that's what you do with podcasts. Can't wait to talk to you soon. Have a great rest of your day. Peace, friend.